Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, today you're going to get an hour full of Straight Talk because we got so much to talk about we couldn't fit it in 30 minutes. First half of the program, around the table, Ben Sullivan, Warren Norman, and Ashley Lang. We're going to be talking about the Marley Drew Sullivan Foundation. And then the second half of the program, Winthrop University President Dr. Edward Cerner will be here along with the Dean of Education, Dr. Beth Costner, to talk about the new Winthrop doctoral program, which I understand Warren Norman is going to sign up for that. Is that right?
Oh, wow. No, I'm done with school.
I couldn't resist the opportunity. So let's go around the table. Ben, tell everybody a little bit about Ben Sullivan.
Yeah, Ben Sullivan. I'm Marley Drew's dad, also a member of the Performing Arts Center Board. Over the past couple of months, Warren said it best. There's been some divine timing in this whole project. So just really excited to be here, really excited to talk about it.
Good. Warren?
Yeah, Warren Norman, born and raised in Rock Hill, and a local developer, and do different commercial things around town, and I'm a member of the Marley Drew Sullivan Foundation Board, and been friends with the Sullivans for a long time, and glad to be here.
All right.
To talk about this.
And over to your left is a lady by the name of Ashley Lang, who everybody by now should know who that is. Ashley?
Yes, but my title today is with the Marley Drew Sullivan Foundation Board. So I help the board with all marketing, communications, PR, and I have a team that helps me do that. So that's kind of my role with the foundation.
All right. I want you, Ashley, to give us just a short synopsis as to what this is all about, how we got here.
Okay, so back on July 25th, Marley Drew Sullivan was 15, and she was getting ready to start her sophomore year at Rock Hill High and was tragically killed in a traffic accident in Laurel Creek. Her and some friends were on a golf cart, and they were struck head-on, and this is what brought us here today. We are honoring and living out Marley's legacy through the foundation and getting this Performing Arts Center built in her memory.
And even though I didn't know your daughter, I understand she was a bright light every time she walked into the room, and she was very much into the arts.
She really was, and you know, we've recognized that more than ever over the past 6 months. People have been so gracious to come up and tell the stories about her, and that's what's provided her legacy to thrive. And again, we're just so appreciative of the community and everyone who stood for us during this process.
Well, what's amazing is in a short period of time, you all have rallied around the Sullivan family. You created this foundation, and you've got this vision about the much-anticipated Performing Arts Center being named after Marley Drew Sullivan. And you accomplished that, right, Warren?
Yes, officially. And the way that came about was Stacy, Ben's wife, Marley's mom, called. I don't even know when, maybe a couple of months after the accident and a couple of weeks? Yeah. And just said, we want, here there's a Performing Arts Center. We of course knew about that from the efforts that were being worked on at the time through the Arts Council at Fountain Park Board. And so, that ensued to a conversation with, Comporium and the Barnes family about asking for the naming rights, and the Barnes family has graciously agreed to step aside for their large commitment to help make this happen, and call this Marley Center, which is really neat and very gracious of them, and as a result of that, the things that have happened have been, as I've called it, divine in nature, in terms of the way that the speed, the things that have fallen into place have landed in a place for a new purpose and a new passion behind figuring out a way to get this facility built in Rock Hill. And I believe if you ask other people who have worked on this for a long time, it's never been in a better place. I know we're going to talk about the gala, but that's it's pretty neat to see come together. And I've said it at the gala that I know that this is going to get built, and it's probably going to get built really quickly because of all of the passion behind this to get it built in Marley's honor.
Okay, so again, we're only 8 months into this thing, something like that. All right. And in that period of time, you've secured the naming rights. Now, you came up with a couple of pretty good ideas over here, and we're going to get Ashley to talk about those. You had Marley's Closet. You had the gala. I mean, tell me about these.
Right. So we thought it was really important. We wanted to get not only the people in the community that had rallied around Ben and Stacy and Cooper, but also Marley's friends involved, because as we know, we've all sat on boards in the community before, and we love the community that we serve, but we want the next generation to be able to really take some of that on. And we thought this was so important that we had people of all ages who helped us with honoring her. And so that's what we've done. We've established a student advisory committee that works with our foundation, and they are in charge of Marley's Closet. So Marley's Closet, they bring prom dresses or dance costumes, and people come and shop the closet for a flat fee rate. So there's prom dresses, semi-formal dresses, dresses that can be used for junior assembly, and then of course dance costumes. And so they're able to shop the closet, and then all of that money goes back to the foundation. That is set up at Williams and Fudge, or in the Cotton Factory building, and they have built pretty much the business plan. They've set the store. It looks like a full-fledged prom dress shopping experience. It's got dressing rooms, it's got mannequins and dresses, and you know, they come in and decorate. There's a square system for payment. I mean, and the kids have taken that and run with it. So we're super proud of them. We're also, of course, we were the planners for the gala. So that, I know we're going to talk about that here in a second, but that happened back in January. There's a golf tournament coming up that we'll talk about later. We definitely want you to get that on your calendar for a save the date.
I can run the beer cart.
We'll sign you up. Got him. And then, of course, we also want to be able to give out scholarships to girls who are guys who are going to pursue dance or eventually want to own their own dance studios.
So back to Marley's Closet. This is open like seasonally when the prom season is here or big events coming?
So if you follow Marley Drew Sullivan on Facebook or Instagram, there's the shopping dates. We always put that out, and we do about one a month. I guess we've had one a month, maybe two a month since it got kicked off. So there's actually one coming up here in the next couple of weeks, so be looking for that.
And been well received? I mean, in terms
absolutely.
Of
absolutely, it's been
the girls have been going
phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
I mean, I have no idea what girls' clothes cost, but I would imagine Marley's Closet can save you a bunch of money.
It's a flat fee of a $100 prom dress, and some of these dresses were actually donated. I think we talked about this last time we were here, from a store out of Columbia with price tags on them. They were just not sold and donated to us, and some of these price tags were upwards to $1,000, $1,200, $1,500. That we sold for $100.
Jeez, isn't that great?
It's been great.
All right, so who came up with the gala idea? Is that you, Ben?
No, that was her mom.
That was her mom. Well, tell me what her mom thought about.
So let me touch back on just one thing real quick. Ashley was talking about Marley's Closet. One of the most special things that's happened is, I guess, a financially struggling family came in, and Stacy identified that and was able to give that girl a prom dress. And so that's Marley giving back to her community right there. So
good.
That was just an awesome moment for her. But so Stacy wanted a gala. It started out as Marley's Sweet 16, but it just turned into something. It started rolling on its own. And, you know, I give her 100% of the credit. I remember most of the folks coming up that night telling us what an amazing night it was. And it was her and her team that put all this together. And I remember her night after night falling asleep on the couch with computer in hand, getting prepared for this thing. So, you know, and the product that she presented that night, you know, speaks for the amount of work she put into it. It was, you know, I'll let Ashley tell you more, but it was just an amazing event.
Yeah, for those of us who were not there, for whatever reason, tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm going to let Warren, I mean, you can kind of chime in. We'll kind of put this in between us. But, I mean, we're both sitting here shaking our heads, and I know you can't hear that. It was, I mean, there's no other way to describe it except that it was incredible. I mean, it was phenomenal. There was just no, and again, there were so many divine things that happened from start to finish. So Marley would have turned 16 on January 22nd. And so Stacy very quickly said, you know, I want to be able to do this for her birthday. And so we said, okay, January 25th. And so from there, like Ben said, it just got rolling. And I mean, we sent emails out to sponsorships. I mean, it sold out immediately. We had already raised upwards of, you know, $200,000-$400,000 and just in sponsorships alone. And then it just, I mean, people were giving in-kind donations. And it was just all of a sudden we walked in that weekend and it was, I mean, it looked like something out of a magazine. I mean, there was just no other way. I don't think McBride Hall, and I'm going to go ahead and step out and say it, I don't think it's ever looked as beautiful as it did. And just, you know, we had to keep adding tables and it was like we were to a point. What do we do? I mean, we would meet and we were like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, we got to get this person. And it was just a phenomenal experience. It was almost like surreal. And then to be up there that night, all three of us took that stage, and to be able to look out at the, because that's a big place. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
vast. I mean, it's huge. And
it's
there was
building.
People from door to door, and just how beautiful everyone looked and how beautiful it was. But I think the most surreal thing is that all of those people were coming together from all different places. I mean, we had people from Texas. We had people from all over the place. But for that one common denominator being Marley, and just the smiles and the love and the emotion. I mean, we laughed and we cried and we danced. And, you know, it was just, it was a phenomenal experience. I'm almost at a loss for words, and that doesn't happen very often. So I'll let you, I mean.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they said it well. And you have Dr. Cerno on after this. I would encourage you to ask him about it. I know we've heard from countless people who attended the event. And from my experience, I've never been a part of an event like that. Never been to an event or attended an event like that. And it was all pulled together in a matter of really 3 months, thanks to Stacy, her leadership, and everybody else that worked on this to help make it happen. But things like that just don't happen. I mean, I've been an adult here in Rock Hill for 25 years, and I've just never experienced anything like that, not just on the fundraising side, but more the experience of the night and the way it all came together. And such, people spend years trying to put on events that are 20% this good, and it just, that's why I know there's a reason behind all of this, and that's why I've said it's going to get built. And one of the main purposes of that night was to unveil Marley Center. It's a great video. Please go to the website and check out the videos that were played that night. They're great to watch, and so it was an amazing night for sure.
So I understand one of the things you had there was, and I've seen this guy in action before, the painter who paints upside down.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know what the heck he's painting, but when he turns it around, you're stunned. And he painted what? Because I don't know what the caricatures were.
Yeah, so he started out with the Statue of Liberty, and he did a great job. You could see about 75% of the way through what it was, so he did have to add his finishing touches towards the end. The second thing he painted was a handshake or hands clasping coming together. But my most favorite part of the night was we had a video of Marley dancing, and it was dancing to a song, okay? The girls dancing after her had not seen the video, but after the video, the girls start dancing to the same song. Michael Israel hadn't seen any of that, but Michael Israel finishes his painting the exact same time the girls finish their dance, and they're both pointing to a picture of Marley, which was what was painted at Fountain Park.
It was cool. It was incredible.
Woo. And, of course, all these paintings were purchased and went into the pot. And at the end of the night, you did something that I don't think ever has been done before in Rock Hill that I'm aware of. You raised a ton of money, which obviously goes to this project. And that ton of money was?
Just in that evening alone, we raised $907,000.
$907,000.
Little over.
Woo! That's good. That's fantastic. Fantastic. And a good place for us to take our mid-program break so we can remind everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2. We prepare fresh subs and salads, and we do that 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and, of course, at 9 o'clock at night. There is a way that we do it, and it's spelled out in the white letters on the back of this, what they call Redneck's cue card. And at the count of three, we want everybody to chime together and tell everybody what they're seeing here on the cue card as to why they should come in here. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
Soup, here it is. Soup, here it is. Fight those cold weather chills with a cup of hot soup at Substation 2. We serve a rotating selection of flavors and never know what we feel like fixing, but it's all delicious. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winter.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, a table full of personalities, Ben Sullivan, Warren Norman, Ashley Lang, all here to talk about an incredible foundation, the Marley Drew Sullivan Foundation, which is all about memorializing the life of Marley Drew Sullivan, who was tragically taken from us here back in the spring. So here we are, and we've gone through this big gala that raised almost $1 million, which is unbelievable here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And the building itself. Now, the building, the Performing Arts Center, and Ben, you've been on this Performing Arts Board for a while?
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
All right. So this probably happened before. But the original location of it was going to be where the Founders Ice Skate Rink was and that piece of property down below there. But that has changed.
That's correct. So one of the ideas from, the Arts Council Board, just before getting to that, Ben sits on that, and there's been a ton of work done by a lot of people on that board that has laid the foundation and the groundwork for how to take it from here. And sometimes having new fresh set of eyes come in and new people is a good thing, and I think this purpose and passion that we talked about, given the new naming rights, is another good thing that has happened. The gala and the launching of this is all great things, and has given this project, which has been ongoing for, as Johnny Barnes told me yesterday, 14 years. It's been a long time. I mean, certainly in the last 5 to 10, in trying to get this off the ground. And I think, this is at a place where one of the things this is at a place where the two boards have come together and established a committee of six of us that are really driving, trying to figure out in 2025 what this building is, how it can serve the community, what is the ultimate final seat count, and all of the specifics behind getting this done. And one of the things that transpired through that process was where they were talking about building it, which partly was owned by Comporium and partly by the city where the fire station is, was going to take years and years and years and years and years to have that ultimately materialize. So one idea was floated again to Comporium about moving the site, and they thought it was a great idea. It's a bigger site. It's easier to manage. It's less expensive to do because and it's quicker. And so all of those things have led to moving it beside Fountain Park Place as a prospective location that we're working towards getting finalized with the architectural team and the whole team that, as I mentioned, the Arts Council Board has been working on for a long time. And so we're sort of collectively charging at this to fill the gaps where gaps need to be filled. And both boards are working diligently towards that end. And I'll say it again, I know it's going to happen because of all the things that are happening as on a daily and weekly basis regarding this project.
This is no small undertaking. I mean, I think the last time I talked about specifics of this Performing Arts Center, it was envisioned to have 500 seating for 500. Is that still in play?
Yes, the current seat count around 520. I think that's one thing that's being assessed, whether or not it goes larger or stays at the size. And that's a good example of things that we're digging into, utilizing the resources of the people in this community and the experts that are on the team to really figure out what this needs to be in terms of a building and operationally how it's going to operate and sustain itself for the long haul.
You're a builder, you're a developer. Something this size, I mean, what is everybody guesstimating this is going to cost in today's world to build it?
That's a good question. I think that's one of those things we're digging into. I think, you know, I like to save money where we can. So I think trying to build a quality product that ultimately serves the needs of the community is the goal. And I think a lot has been done to get us there, and we're working hard towards getting us to the finish line. I don't want to throw out a number because I don't know what that answer is, but certainly in the $20 million plus range, so it's a large project. But the good news is there's a baseline of work that has already been completed, both on the fundraising side. As you mentioned, we raised almost $1 million towards this, and our foundation's commitment at the Marley Drew Sullivan Foundation is to do what we can to continue to raise money towards this project. So we mentioned the other philanthropic things that the foundation is working on, but this is the, don't want to speak out of turn, Ben, you tell me, but this is the number one goal. This is the goal that the foundation and Stacy has said, we want this to happen. And so from a financial perspective, we want to do all we can at the foundation level to help make that happen in support of the ACFP board.
So are we talking with the state of South Carolina? Are we talking with York County? Are we talking with the city of Rock Hill? All of the entities that should have a stake in something like this?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
And along with a push towards soon talking to other community stakeholders that we want to be involved. And we're asking the questions right now of what do you want to see this facility be? It's an economic driver. And so a lot of those that you mentioned should participate in this, or we hope participates in this, because it truly is an economic driver, and we want to make sure that we have that in mind in terms of how this is designed and how it serves the community and how it could be an economic driver for the community as a whole.
I mean, we see the success that the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra has had. I mean, it's drawing big crowds. People love it. It's growing every time they do a concert, and you can see that there definitely is a market for that here. No question about it. And if you get this Performing Arts Center built the way you're talking about, it's going to draw bigger types of performances, regional, whatever they might be, and that's just going to make it work. So how are we going about raising this money, Ben?
All of the above. Yeah, we're targeting anyone who wants to be a part of this. I mean, Marley was an all-inclusive type of person, so this isn't, you know, certainly it's Rock Hill. Rock Hill is what we call home, but we're reaching out to other communities, as Warren mentioned. And it's so important that everyone's voice is heard in this. So, yeah, I mean, anybody that wants to be a part of it, right, you know, at the very top level, right down to a single brick of the building, that's important to us.
At one time, there was a fundraiser involved, a professional fundraiser involved with this. Is that still part of the plan, or are you just doing this grassroots?
I think we're starting with grassroots. I think we, you know, we have seen this community step up. I think a great example of that is the gala. I mean, you had, as Ashley mentioned, wall to wall, huge financial support, and I think the answer is we know, you know, we know this community. We know what this community can do, and this is a community building, and we want, as Ben said, everyone's buy-in from the smallest brick to the largest donor and everybody in between. And that's where we want to start, because that's the backbone of a grassroots type campaign of something like this. And I think that's where we want to start. And if we have to expand from there, we will, but that's the backbone.
And I think the important part about it being grassroots is not only, of course, the money that's going to be coming in, but it's the ability to be able to partner with people. You know, we want to be able to partner with Winthrop. We want to be able to partner with York Tech. We want to be able to partner with the local dance studios. We want to be able to partner with the Rock Hill Symphony. It's all about the inclusion in that way as well. I mean, of course, we want the funds. We have to have the funds to get it built. Right. But it's also about the partnership and really looking at the arts community as a whole and being able to really partner and rally around the common goal.
You know, a project this big, trying to get $20 million in one fell swoop so we can get started, is a tall order. So at some point you might say, look, we've got $10 million in the bank. We need to get started with this thing, and we'll figure out the rest of it or get some financing or doing whatever. I mean, I'm sure that's part of the strategy, because you don't want to wait too long or this thing just gets so doggone expensive it almost can get out of reach.
Yeah, and that's why we're working so hard putting the nose to the grindstone. And you know, I believe that this is going to happen. I've said it over and over again, and I think almost on a daily, weekly, monthly basis you're seeing that come to fruition. Again, the gala is a great example.
Oh, yeah.
How often have you ever heard of $1 million or almost $1 million being raised in one night? You know, while at the same time, to your earlier question, understanding how we can efficiently and effectively spend those dollars, and there's confidence that those dollars are going to be spent in a quality product or building that is going to serve the community. And, you know, Ashley said it well. We want those partnerships. We believe they're out there. And with buy-in like that, the funds are going to happen. And certainly there's a point in time that you get so far down the line or so much filling that bucket up that you can hit the go button. And our goal is to be able to stand at the gala next year and say we're going. I mean, that's a lofty goal. But we've seen this community step up before, starting with the gala, and I think it's going to happen again.
All right. Yes, sir, Ben.
And one thing, you know, back to divine timing, we're not starting from scratch here. The Arts Board has done a phenomenal job of getting us here. It was their vision to start with. They're on board with this. So we're not starting from scratch. And, you know, a lot of folks, you've got three of us sitting here, but there's so many people behind the scenes that are pushing in other areas. It's almost like you don't have time to sit. Everyone's pushing. And, you know, I can't name them all, but I do have to talk about Justin Smith, who stepped into the interim chair role and has just done an amazing job keeping the ball rolling for the Arts Center. So just really appreciative of him.
And I do want to say that both boards have come together to say, hey, we both want this to happen, and we are helping each other with the fundraising for the project. So
Very
it's definitely a joint effort.
Golf tournament. When's the golf tournament?
Yes, upcoming golf tournament is going to be on September the 22nd.
Write this down, Buster.
September 22nd,
okay.
Rock Hill Country Club.
All right, good. You can find out more of the information online where?
Facebook and Instagram, Marley Drew Sullivan Foundation.
Right.
And the website.
You know what I love about this whole thing? Not only what it's all about, but there's another generation taking this big project on their shoulders, and they're running with it. I think that's fabulous. I think that's just wonderful. That's how Rock Hill has progressed, as it has over all this time, to what we have today, and this is just another building block. Great. Thank you, Ben Sullivan. Thank you, Warren Norman. Thank you, Ashley Lang, for all that you're doing, and Marley Drew Sullivan. Keep that in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind, because they need help. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, this part of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Don't go away too long, because we're going to come right back with part two. Oh, my gosh, over there in the green room is the good doctor, the good doctors, who will be here from Winthrop University. And, by the way, I tried to get Warren to sign up for the first doctoral program, and he said, nah, I'm done. All right, we'll be back to continue our Straight Talk program right after these words.